is The Unseen. And I'm your host, Mike Cleland. Yvonne Smith will be my guest on this episode. She is a hypnotherapist and author. She began doing hypnosis work over 30 years ago, and this began with a focus on PTSD, and this soon overlapped with the UFO contact experience. Yvonne is a therapist first and a researcher second, and we talk about this a lot during the show, the difference between these two things. She sees her work as a way to help lessen the suffering that comes with these very difficult experiences. 3 years ago, in August of 2018, I did a hypnosis session with Yvonne, and that experience will be the focus of this interview. And we try to explore the implications and deeper meanings of what emerged in that session. At the end of our interview, I will play the audio recording of the actual hypnosis session. And for me, including this audio was a heavy decision. If you make it that far into the show, you will hear that I got very emotional, and it might be difficult to listen to. So just a warning up ahead. It was a big decision, and it weighed heavily on me to add the audio of the actual hypnosis, my hypnosis session. But in some ways, I didn't know how not to include it. I just feel that the interview won't make any sense without it. You can reach Yvonne at her website, which is hypnotherapistyvonnesmith.com. I'll repeat that. hypnotherapistyvonnesmith.com. And she has written two excellent books. The first was Coronado, and it is subtitled The President, the Secret Service, and Alien Abductions. And this came out in 2014. And this was about a mass abduction event that took place on the island of Catalina in the Coronado Hotel. The second book is titled Chosen, and it is subtitled From the Alien Hybrid Program to the Fate of the Planet. And this was authored with Yvonne and James P. Lau, and it was published in 2017. And both these books can be found on Amazon. And also, for members, there will be no commercials. And for non-paying members, the interview will be interrupted at two points with commercials. Now, before I jump into the actual interview, I want to say this, and this is something I've noted before. Yvonne has a very calm way about her, and it is a little bit disarming given the like crazy frenetic energy that comes along with the subject matter, which is UFO contact. And it makes it very easy to work with her as a therapist because she is so calm and so grounded, and I appreciated that during my time and work with her. This audio interview was recorded on Friday, June 4th, 2021. Please enjoy. Yvonne, I want to thank you so much for saying yes to this interview. It means a lot to me.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike.
So I open the show the same way every time. I say the very same thing, but this time I really do mean it. It does mean a lot to me. For this episode of my show, I would like to focus on a session that we had, a hypnosis session, in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And me trying to process it, and there's lots of levels I'm trying to process this thing. It's been over three years now, and I'm still, you know, baffled and sort of astonished at what came out during that session.
Usually people are. Yeah, we never know what's going to come out in a session. So that's why I make sure people are prepared to, you know, to know if something does come out that they actually have had experiences. That's why I send out my information in letter to be sure that they are ready to do this. Because once the information comes out, as you know, it can't be put back in.
Yes. Now, I know. So hypnosis is sort of contentious in this field. Not sort of contentious. It's very contentious in this field. There's two camps, and then there's a camp in the middle, I guess. But on one end of the continuum is people who depend on hypnosis for this kind of research, and that would be UFO contact or the abduction research. And then on the other end are people that see it as dangerous, like we're introducing false information into the study. And then there are people in the middle, I guess, who are, you know, say you can use it wisely or you can gain certain things from it. And I'm struggling in that right now because the story that emerged in our session was so monumentally intense, I don't know how to trust it. So where are you at on this as far as the use of hypnosis and fully trusting the information?
Well, of course, you know, I've been doing this now for 30 years. And if I had never seen healing within my clientele, within my support group Zero, I wouldn't have continued doing this. It is very healing with someone who is skilled at doing this. And that's really important, that someone who has been trained knows how to pose the questions carefully and, of course, not lead someone into thinking they had an abduction experience when they didn't. I know that it was a big deal a few years ago. It came out during, there was some child abuse cases and they were blaming the therapist for, you know, planting ideas and situations in their mind. And of course, that could happen. That does happen with someone who is not trained, like I said, and who does not pose the questions correctly in order not to lead someone. But for people who say that this is dangerous or whatever else they say, they really do not have an idea of what this is all about. So I will push back with people who say that, because I have seen the changes in people. I've seen the healing. They come to me, of course, with PTSD symptoms, which occur whenever anyone suffers a trauma, a traumatic experience, no matter what it is. Well, alien abduction is no different. They're suffering from something that they can't explain. They're hypervigilant. They feel something's going to happen at any time, but they don't know what. They feel out of control. So they come to me with all these symptoms, and as we're working together, the fear, these symptoms begin to dissipate, and they're able to sleep again. They're able to concentrate on their work, because we all have to work. We all have to pay bills, and that's the first thing, you know, that I am concerned with, is to get someone to function in their everyday life. And then we deal with the, you know, with the experience. And this is also why I established Zero, my support group, 29 years ago, for people to come together to speak about their experiences without feeling they're going to be ridiculed. And they are private. They're by invitation only, and I've kept it that way to keep it a safe haven for people. So they're, you know, it really does help when they feel that they're not alone.
Yeah, and I have been to one of your support groups, and
I remember, yes,
in Pasadena, yeah. And I've also been to some of the meetings you have run at the International UFO Congress over the years.
Right. Oh yes, I enjoy doing that. I'll be doing that again this year in September, which will be so nice to have an in-person conference again.
I think the everyone in the whole planet is hungry to be out and about again. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Last year, 2020 was terrible for all of us. So I think we're really anxious to get together and feel each other's energy. And I love hosting the experiencer sessions there.
So your role is a therapist first.
Yes.
And a researcher second. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's very fair to say. It's that, as I mentioned before, it's necessary for people who come to me to be able to, if in fact we discover that they have been abducted all their lives, it's important for me to help that person incorporate this into their everyday life. Because unfortunately, once they've been chosen to have this experience and their family members as well, the experience doesn't go away. It doesn't just stop. It may lay dormant for a while, but something else will happen. Something else will come forward. And so I tell people, just next time they know or they might feel that something is coming, and of course they get nervous and sometimes frightened again because they know they can't stop it. But yet intellectually they know, okay, if I'm having this experience again, I know I'll be okay. I know they're going to bring me back. But it is a process. I mean, I've worked with people since I started my practice 30 years ago because it is an ongoing experience. It's very complex. People always ask me, oh, how many sessions will it take? And I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because everyone is so different in how they handle all of this. Just like we're all different in how we handle when one of our loved ones passes away. We all handle grief so differently. And so this is the same thing. And all I tell them is it's going to take, definitely going to take more than one or two sessions.
Well, I have had sessions with other hypnotherapists, and I can talk about that a little bit. You know what I will do? I will be playing the actual recording of our session at the very end of our interview, and that will allow people to hear my voice. I will edit it slightly. There's some long pauses in there, which I guess is normal in hypnosis.
Oh, very, yes.
Yeah, I'll shorten some of the long pauses there. But I just listened to it before calling you now. I just listened to it minutes before we got on the phone here. And I was really struck by the power of it. And I will also add, it sounds pretty good. The audio quality isn't too bad. And I thought about this before, and I've been thinking long and hard about it, but I've tried to be as open as I can be with my experiences, and I've tried to share as much as I possibly can publicly. And I know that's a little messy in the sense that I'm not sure. I haven't had any evidence that it has actually impacted my day-to-day life, being so open with my experiences. So I'm going to continue with that and then put this on at the end of the show, and then folks can listen to it. We'll talk about the session, but then they'll be able to hear the session in its entirety at the end.
Good. Okay.
Okay, so let me just start that in 2017, almost a year before we had our session, I did a hypnosis session with Mary Rodwell.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to cover a bunch of things, that happened in my life. And so we jumped around a bit and listening to the audio recording of that session, we go from one event to another event. And the story that emerged when you and I talked also emerged when I spoke with Mary a year earlier. And I the only way I can describe this, it was like watching a rerun on TV.
Mm.
Like a TV show you have seen before. It was, by all accounts, a frame-for-frame rerun.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same experience emerged with her that emerged with you. As far as I can tell, there were no variations. The only difference was that session was a little choppy because we were jumping around it a bit.
Sure.
And the session that you and I had, that was the only thing we wanted to talk about. That was the only thing I was asking about. And it rolled out in a very smooth, linear fashion. So it's a little easier to, the hypnosis session with you plays out a little cleaner as a story.
Yes. Oh, I totally can understand.
Yeah. I cried in the session, and in both sessions, the session with Mary and the session with you. And I'll say I cried hard. That's one thing I will edit out is no one needs to hear me get so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm assuming this must be very normal for you in your role, in your job as a hypnotherapist, to see people go through such strong emotions, relive such strong emotions.
Oh, it happens all the time. And the person who has become very emotional after we end the session, I bring them out of hypnosis. They're so surprised that they experience these very raw, strong feelings during the session. And, you know, that's when they know that what they experienced had to be real. You know, because when you're making something up, or if it was something from, you know, some television show or something like that, that emotion, that raw emotion, is just not going to come through. And because, you know, people go, oh, they could just read books, or they could watch a show, and, you know, then they could just parrot all the information. But see, I send out the information to everyone to get a background on them, to get a family background about them, because this does run in the family. It starts in childhood. It rarely, rarely will start all of a sudden in adulthood. Very rarely. When that happens, when someone comes to me and says, oh my gosh, I had an experience, I think, I don't remember anything else, you know, I suspect that they've had other experiences, but they're just not remembering.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, anyway. So, I mean, I was not surprised when you got so emotional. I mean, that's my work. I come across this all the time.
Okay. Hello, listeners. This is Mike, and this audio interview will be momentarily interrupted with a few commercials. Here goes.
Whitley Strieber became the host of Dreamland in 1998, and he's still the host today. One of the first podcasts, Dreamland has been built into the premier program of its kind, exploring the edge of science and reality. The show's archive on unknowncountry.com dates back to 2004. Dreamland is a treasure unique in the world.
At this point in this commercial, I used to say that you can't subscribe because we are still in our old website, but that has changed at last. UnknownCountry.com's new website is available. Go to UnknownCountry.com and take a look. It is beautiful. It offers a huge archive, weekly chats, a free message board, all kinds of great stuff. Whitley Strieber audiobooks for subscribers, and much, much more. New stuff coming on the site all the time. So go to unknowncountry.com, take a look, and really open your mind. How do you do that? By subscribing and exploring and having a great time.
Earthfiles.com is Linda Moulton Howe's great website, offering news of the edge of science and reality. Keep up with Linda's work every single day on earthfiles.com. A new world is coming. Whitley has just finished his book about what it's like to live with and communicate with the visitors. He's been doing this for the past 30 years, and since 2015, the intensity of it has exploded. So be among the first to know what living with them is really like, and what it will be like for more and more of us in the future. A new world, unforgettable.
It's getting great reviews. Take a look on Amazon. It's available as a Kindle, as an ebook everywhere else, and as a paperback at Barnes & Noble and on Amazon, and as also as a hardcover on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, and as an audiobook read by me on Audible.com.
The commercials are now over, and back to the interview.
I mean, that's my work. I come across this all the time.
Okay. So from me lying on the couch to, you know, sort of sitting up at the end of the session and how I felt, I mean, I think that purging and like unleashing those raw emotions is therapy in itself.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I felt good after the session. A crazy story emerged that I didn't know how to fit into my brain in a way. I guess it's funny because I had the session with Mary a year earlier, and I really fought it. Like, I really fought. Like, this I don't trust it. This can't be true.
You're fighting the memories that were coming forward, or you're fighting the emotion, or both?
Well, I found the emotion therapeutic. So, like, I felt good after Mary's session, too. But I would say I was...
Okay.
Like, I was very cautious to believe the story that emerged here. So what happened was, in the session, and at people who listen all the way to the end can hear it, I am outside. There's a bright light behind a bush. I'm sleeping outside, which I do a lot. I sleep under the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bright light behind the bush, and you're leading me through. And at some point I kind of go, it's them. It's them. I know it's them. I know it's them. And then I'm like looking down at this big giant, what by all accounts is a landed flying saucer. And I'm looking down in it, and I'm saying, like, I don't know how I got here. I'm up here. And you asked, are you out of body? And I said, I think my body's still in the sleeping bag, but I am looking down at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I know, I'm inside and I'm walking in a hallway. And the very first thing I say is, like, I'm not tall. Like, I'm 6 foot tall, and I didn't feel 6 foot tall. I felt short. And I looked at my body, and I looked at my hands, and I was like wearing a skinny, tight spacesuit on, and I had these long fingers, and I was like, I'm a gray alien. And the thing that scared me more than anything, or not scared me, the thing that was unsettling more than anything, was I said, this feels so normal. This feels so normal. Mm. Now, have you run into this where people, the big picture, I'm just filling in the audience who may not have heard this. The big picture is that the implication was that I had lived a life in some previous consciousness as a gray alien, and that I was incarnated here on Earth as a person, as me, as Mike, and I'm a complete person. I don't feel like I'm like I feel like I'm really me, and I'm not like some split personality or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but somewhere in this consciousness rests the consciousness of a gray alien waiting to perform some duty. And that sums up the majority of the talk. But now, have you heard this before?
I have. Yeah, I have. Just like how you described it, they were, they felt themselves in a different body, just like you did. And they do feel, I've coming across so many people now the last several years. That's why I put it in my last book, the second half of my last book, Chosen, about people feeling that they are here to do something. They have a job to do, the mission to do, but they don't know what. And many of them have changed their careers, where they live. I mean, just so many changes have happened to people after they've awakened to this experience. But what I heard in your session about you felt, you know, you were a gray, I've heard that before. At first, I wasn't sure about the information about that coming forward, but then I've heard it, you know, many times now. You know, if I hear something and I haven't heard it again, I'll put it on the back burner, and I will see if it comes up in other sessions. And that does. It, as strange as it sounds to people, it has come up in other sessions.
Wow. And so I had read this. The first time I remember reading about this was in John Mack's book Abduction,
mm-hmm.
which I think came out in 1996 or something like that.
It was in the 90s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was I feel like I was predisposed to that. And researchers, do you know Joe Lewis from Texas?
Yes.
So he's talked about this too. So like, I feel like I was front-loaded with this information before I did the session with you and before I did the session with Mary.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing that is unsettling to me is that those two sessions played out with such an exactness. I basically relived the same event. Mm-hmm. And I'll also hear you just got to my next question. Like I said during the session, as a gray alien, seemingly, I was confused in essence in talking to this kind of, it felt like a trial in a way, but I said, you know, the time is now.
Mm-hmm.
It is starting now and everything is going to change. And I said, I have a role to play. And then I also said, like you asked me, like, what is this role? And I said, I don't know. And it was so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like,
yes,
like it's locked and I don't have the key. Like they hold the key.
They hold the key. Yeah. I've heard that so many times where I'm hearing it from you and I'm getting goosebumps because I've heard it so many times before where people will say they have a job to do. And this is like, say, during their session, they're with the aliens and they're communicating. And the aliens are telling them, when the time comes, you'll know what to do. I mean, I've heard this over and over and over again. And it is frustrating to the abductee because, you know, of course, you know, they want to know, what am I supposed to do? What is my job? They just know they are supposed to do something. I mean, my whole support group, we've had meetings about this, and we still have conversations about it. And this was your session or your experience happened in 2017?
So the actual event that was March 10th, 2013.
Yes.
So the previous session with Mary was 2017.
Okay. So way back then. Okay. So 2013, what's that, 8 years ago. That's about the time, maybe a little bit before 2011, I started hearing from people that would come in my office, you know, new people that don't know each other. They don't know any of my other clients. And yet they're saying the same thing that you're saying about, I'm supposed to do something. I have a job to do. They feel like there's something coming real soon. I call that the urgency because they kept telling me I'm supposed to do something. I feel like I'm supposed to do something. And that something was going to happen real soon. Something's coming down the pike real soon. And here we're in 2021, and all of a sudden we're hearing from mainstream media are reporting about UFOs and was it ATIP that Senator Harry Reid headed up in the Pentagon. But yet we're hearing this from, like, say, New York Times, Washington Post,
minutes.
CNN. I mean, 60 Minutes did that show. This is a complete turnaround. This is something that we've been waiting for. You know, this is no longer in the tabloids. And people who have not even thought about UFOs are always like, oh, sure, you know, it would debunk them. It wouldn't believe people. Now they're going, gee, I saw that on CNN. Or, yeah, I watched 60 Minutes, and now they're paying attention.
Yeah.
So I feel like this could be part of that. What was that alien being tell you this is just the start of it?
More than now is the time, yeah. Like, now is the time. It's starting right now.
Okay.
Basically, I felt like it was communicated to me that my old life had ended and this new life mm-hmm. was beginning right now.
Yeah. Yeah. People, like as I mentioned, several people that I've worked with changed their careers, you know, some making six figures and just decided, you know, the money is just not important anymore. You know, I need to go work for the environment. I need to do something, you know, it was amazing to me. And it's still amazing to me because I still hear this. Some people are saying, maybe I'm supposed to tell everybody about my experience, write a book or lecture, or I'm supposed to educate people about this. And I do feel that they want us to educate the people. Look what's happening now. Look with the Navy pilots. They came forward and said, there's something flying out there with us. We don't know what they were. And they were scared.
Yeah.
You know, this thing is flying in our airspace. I mean, that's why people really started paying attention. So they want us to know about them. The way things are happening now, I mean, I'm amazed, but I'm also very pleased. It's like, God, it's about time that mainstream media starts talking about this.
Yeah. Hello, listeners. This is Mike, and this audio interview will be momentarily interrupted with a few commercials. Here goes.
In 2015, Whitley Strieber entered a whole new level of contact, and his new book, A New World, tells the powerful and revealing story of what's been happening. Read about contact experiences unlike you have ever heard described before. Learn about the breakthroughs in communication that are developing right now. Experience the wonder of seeing into a mirror universe. The thrill of discovering the close encounter experience in an entirely new way. And learn the secret of how Whitley has built a very real and ongoing relationship with our otherworldly visitors. One Amazon reviewer says, a significant document of human empowerment. Another, one mind-bending, reality-shifting read. Another, outstanding. Get A New World today, available as a paperback, a hardcover, and an ebook wherever books are sold. And as an audiobook read by Whitley on Audible.com.
The commercials are now over, and back to the interview.
God, it's about time that mainstream media starts talking about this.
Yeah, I spoke with Richard Dolan. I remember this conversation clearly. I did an interview with him about 10 years ago after the publication of AD, After Disclosure, which he wrote with Bryce Sable. And that was about, you know, seemingly this time right now. And they framed it more like it was sort of at a press conference in the White House where the press liaison would stand at a podium and, you know, make an announcement that, yes, UFOs are real.
Right.
And the question I asked to Rich Dolan was, you know, what happens when the first person who raises their hand in that room says, you know, what about all those reports of people being taken from their bedrooms? Like, how does that fit into this?
Yeah.
And, you know, answering that question may be impossible from the podium of the White House. So what we're getting is, you know, Navy pilots saying they saw craft in the distance. And and I'm wondering when the line is going to be crossed and they start talking about the first person experiences of contact.
Well, that's something that some of my group members, we discussed, you know, I mean, you know, we got to take baby steps with this. And the baby steps for the general public is like, oh, you know, there's something flying around. Navy pilots and commercial pilots have seen these things. But, you know, the next big step is to realize, okay, whoever is flying these things, they're coming down and they have been engaging with us for a long time, contacting people, taking them, you know, doing their experiments and whatever they're doing. That's going to be a whole other conversation. I mean, I feel that because this is so widespread, the abduction phenomenon, people in our government have been taken.
I agree. Yeah.
You know, I mean, no one's immune to this. So I think it's going to come out as it's meant to come out, slowly. Like, look at how long it's taken for the mainstream media to report on UFOs and doing it seriously, you know, not tongue-in-cheek anymore. Eventually, this will come out, and people are out there are going to realize that they're going to need help. The abductees, experiencers are very instrumental in all of this. The disclosure, you know, it's like, I don't look at our government or to our government for disclosure. I think the abductees, experiencers are going to drive this because more and more people are coming forward.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I talked about being on board the craft, seemingly on board the craft, and saying, you know, now is the time. I volunteered for this. Mm-hmm. Now is the time. I have a mission. It starts right now. And I don't think I talked with you about this because it didn't really occur to me until afterwards. So that event, March 10th, 2013, that was the event. I was lying in the Utah desert and I looked up and saw what I thought was a landed flying saucer on a hillside. And and then I had this experience that emerged through hypnosis, you know, years later. And on March 10th, 2013, that night, I sensed very strongly something had happened that night. I sensed very strongly that I had had some sort of contact thing. And the craft that I saw, I dismissed as a house, like of somebody's big house in the desert. Somebody built a big house up on that hillside, and I just rolled over as calmly as can be and went back to sleep. Mm-hmm. And then I looked up, and there was no house on Google Maps. That house was huge. It should have been easy to see that house.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There was nothing there. There was no road or anything. So what I realized is on March 10th, 2013, that night I had the experience. The next day, March 11th, I drove home. It was a long drive. And March 12th, I started the book, The Messengers. I started writing the book. Mm-hmm. So like I did that unconsciously. I looked back. I was told you have a mission, you have a role to play. Less than 48 hours, I started the book that has kind of defined my life in the last 5 years or so.
That's amazing. Yeah. That was your message. And you said you started writing it, not connecting it to your experience.
Well, I had already been doing a blog and I had already been talking about UFO stuff and I had already been collecting material about owls, but I formally started writing the book less than 48 hours after the event.
Right.
Under the stars.
Yep, I'm not surprised.
I'm a little surprised by
it. So. Oh, of course. That's how things unfold. People that, you know, they'll write or they'll do something that they never thought they'd be doing. I had a serial member who started who was doing her radio show. She goes, oh my gosh, I never thought I'd, you know, be hosting a radio show. You know, people will make changes in their lives.
And my life has flipped upside down in the last, you know, since confronting this UFO experience in my life. Like these things had always happened. I had a handful of memories before I started looking into them. So I didn't start looking into my own experiences until I was about 46 or so. And and it was like, I don't know what else, like the dam broke basically at a certain point. And I was flooded with memories and
sure.
And here's something. One of the things I was flooded with was powerful synchronicities. Is that common for the folks you're working with?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It happens on a daily basis with some people in my own support group. And just the fact that, you know, I'd forgotten that I was listening to the tape before our show, and I remember that it refreshed my memory when you called me. I was in the process of reading your book. Do you remember?
Oh yes.
Yeah. I mean, when I heard that on the tape, I said, "Oh my God, that's right." Well, that is a synchronicity. That was incredible. Things like that happen constantly to experiencers.
So the core of my research has been the synchronicities that involve owls and UFOs. So that you were reading my book on owls when I was asking you to do a hypnosis session about UFO stuff. I mean, that's it. That's the synchronicity about owls and UFOs. It's they're co-joined in that one event. So that has been so normal for me in my life at this point. And I think that's how I replied to your email. I think I essentially laughed and said, yeah, this is pretty normal for me to get these kind of synchronicities.
Oh, yes. I remember that. I have a serial member who constantly sees owls around his house, hears them and sees them, and he has synchronicities happening in his life constantly. I mean, they don't always involve owls, the synchronicities, but I know that you were concentrating on that aspect of it with your books.
Yes, and so this is a funny thing. Now, so before we started the session, like I was there in your office and we talked for probably 45 minutes or so and just, you know, what we wanted to cover, and it was nice and calm and felt like we were created a little checklist. There wasn't much in the checklist. I wanted to talk about the event, the night of March 10th, 2013. And then I said, hey, somewhere in this session, like I'll be vulnerable. I'll be in this like zone of the unconscious, which is mysterious to me. And like, just ask me when I'm in that zone, ask me what's up with the owls. And you did, you said, what's your connection to owls? Now I have immersed myself. I have immersed my life in owls. That is like my front and center day-to-day life. I answer emails about owls. I write about owls. I study owls. And when you asked me, I said, the owls aren't important, which I never would have said. And I've listened to the audio many times, and there's a sort of clarity in my voice when I'm talking that doesn't show up elsewhere. It feels like, it was obviously my voice. It was me saying it. The words were coming out of my mouth. But I said, the owls are not important. The owl is a symbol on a door. It is the door that is important.
Right.
We are on this side of the door. And there's an infinite vastness on the other side of the door. And to me, that's a beautiful way to frame this owl mystery. Now, here's my question. Was I channeling? Where did that come from?
You could have been. You're definitely receiving messages. I mean, this has happened very recently with another serial member, you know, client of mine, where he'll put out something in an email and it just, he asked me, he goes, that doesn't sound like me. You know, so it could be a being channeling through yours or sending the messages to you or through you. I think that's very possible because I hear it all the time.
And I wondered whether it was my higher self, like was it my best self? Was it some part of me? Was it my subconscious that delivered that message? I speak very poetically and very smoothly in a way that I do not speak throughout the rest of the hypnosis session. Do you have any other examples of that? You know, I'm thinking of like Dolores Cannon, how she would work with patients in get them into a very deep form of hypnosis, and then this material would emerge. I would call that the material that emerged and made up her books, like The Custodians. I would consider that channeled information. I mean, what other things have emerged as far as like what comes out when people are talking in this, in these other voices?
Well, they're not always in a different voice. It's usually just information comes through that, you know, the person feels that normally wouldn't be me. I wouldn't say something like that. But I have not had sessions where the person will actually change demeanor, change voices, just like you see typically in someone who's channeling or supposedly channeling. I'm not seeing it to that extreme, but just the information that comes forward, I feel that that's they're being given that information.
Like, what are you seeing as far as the information that's being imparted? What is there a pattern, or what type of things are people saying?
It's hard for me to pick out.
Okay.
A lot of these sessions seem to melt together because I've done so many of them, and then so many of them are similar.
Mm-hmm.
But just to what you said about what was told to you, the information given to you about the owls, that it was just a symbol. Yeah, just information that has come through about, you know, something happening soon that is, you know, because I'm trying to think of the wording, you know, that we're going to be experiencing, of course, some turmoil, which we have, but we have to approach all of this. Remember to approach all of this with love. because we could change, which sounds so simplistic, but I hear this all the time. We have to approach it with love and we'll get through it. So that this is one of my sewer members where he gets information from a being who he calls his ancient mystic, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And the things that have been coming through with him are things that have been happening all around us, you know, all the upheaval and turmoil, I mean, all over the world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's, people are given information, messages, and we just, I think we just have to pay attention, just set all this information aside and see what comes forward, see what we experience day by day.
Wow.
But definitely, abductees and experiencers are receiving messages, definitely.
And messages of love. And this is something also in the community that it's almost contentious, where there's one camp that's very nuts and bolts, and then there's one camp that's very love and light. And there is this, the people who are coming forward with their experiences often paint their experiences with the veneer of, let's say, love and light, but is it emerging within their hypnosis sessions, this kind of loving benevolence? And I'm curious about this because I struggle with this because I know that like I could bring into my research, I could project myself into it and I could change the research. I'm trying to be very cautious not to do that. I do it to a degree, I'm certain.
Mm-hmm.
But are you finding a loving, benevolent message within the hypnosis sessions? What's being communicated there?
Well, yeah, some of them are, I don't know if it maybe, they're just messages. I don't think they're here to save us from ourselves, or they can interfere. I don't think they can interfere. We know that they've always been very, very concerned about our nuclear weapons. And they can interfere with that if they're going to be stupid enough to blow each other up, because that affects the entire universe. But they give us messages where they tell us it's all up to us to change things. Now, people that have said all of their experiences are wonderful, light and love and benevolent, I'm glad they feel that way and they maybe have experienced this, but I feel very strongly that they're not remembering in the very beginning when they've been taken and going through what everyone goes through, are the experiments and examinations and, you know, samples taken. Now, those people who said, and I've come across them at these conferences, it's all wonderful and, you know, and I'm happy for them. And maybe they are being contacted by completely different alien beings than the ones that I'm working with that are contacting all the thousands of cases I've had over the 30 years. And those people who have said they have nothing but wonderful experiences, they don't come, they have no reason to seek help, like from someone like me. But I just feel that they're just not remembering, because the alien beings are able to wipe out someone's memory. It doesn't work forever, because I'm able to pull up the hidden memories. But I think they're just not remembering everything. And see, once they go through all the sessions and they meet other people in the support group and they go through that whole process and the fear diminishes, that's when with the fear's not blocking them, they're able to receive messages. They're able to somewhat communicate with these beings. And like just like when you receive messages, many other people have as well. That doesn't mean that their experiences with being taken and examined again and whatever else, you know, they're doing, you know, that's not going to stop. But there has been a lot of communication between the abductees that I was amazed, because I knew these abductees in the very beginning were terrified. I mean, just terrified, because they don't know what happened to them. And they had half memories, and then they were terrified to even go through the regression because they thought, oh my God, I'm going to experience this again. And, you know, all of these things. But yet when they went through the sessions, they did feel just like yourself. They felt relief. They felt better. Mm-hmm. You know, it was you going through the venting process, whether you're crying or just verbalizing all these hidden memories. So it's not all love and light all the time, and it's not all terrifying examinations. But everybody goes through that process. It's so hard for me to explain it.
Oh, I get it.
They go through that process, and like I say, once they go through all the regressions and remembering everything, and they meet other people, they don't feel so alone anymore. The people that I thought would always be terrified have now received messages, and some are even assisting the alien beings with calming down the new abductees being brought on board, believe it or not.
I've heard that many times, yeah.
I call it the graduation process, you know, because I never thought I'd see the day when that would happen, but it does happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is tough. I mean, my role as an author and as a researcher doing this stuff, especially being so personal with my own experiences, I could, you know, there's so much information out there. I could cherry pick whatever information I want, and I could write a dark, frightening, traumatic book.
Right.
Filled with dark, frightening, traumatic stories. Or I could write a blissful, benevolent, magical, loving book filled with exactly those types of stories. Yet there is both that are occurring within the lore, mm-hmm. within people's experiences. And, you know, it feels like you could get sucked into your own reality tunnel and get lost and just get focused on that one thing.
Right.
And ignore the other thing. And that's been like, it's been a lot of work not to ignore the other side of the coin. Both of them have to be addressed, and both of them have to be confronted, I guess. Yeah.
Well, they do. I mean, I totally agree. You have to, you know, when you're writing about, you know, your own experiences, as I write about my clients' experiences, that all has to be in there with the being taken, the examination, the going through, and then the memory gets wiped out, and they're left with all these half memories, and you know, they go through life like that until they start exploring, and then it'll turn. You know, that, like I said, as soon as that fear begins to dissipate, they're able to hear some of the messages or communication. I mean, there's not always a whole lot of communication, but there's some, and they're able to hear the messages or know, okay, I have a purpose. They come away with knowing that they have a purpose for this. Something is happening, you know, to them mm-hmm. for a specific purpose. So yeah, you're right. You have to encompass everything when you're writing about this experience.
Which is very challenging.
It's very challenging.
Hey, we are just about an hour into this, and I should let you go here soon. My final question is, like, this is partially for me and partially for the listeners of this show, many of whom have had these experiences. I'd say the majority of whom have had these experiences. And so after Pandora's box has been opened and you can't close it again, how do I go on with my life?
Just knowing that you're not alone. There are millions of people going through this. Those people who are lucky enough to be able to go to a support group, that helps tremendously. I mean, I've had mine, as you know, for 29 years. We're finally going to have our first in-person meeting in July after that over a year of COVID. Mm-hmm. You have to keep it to experiencers, abductees, and not allow just anybody to come in, because then it's not considered safe, you know, a safe haven. So, and that's really important for people who are experiencing this. But you know that this experience doesn't go away, this doesn't stop, it may lay dormant for a while, but knowing that whatever you experienced, you came out of it safe and you're alive, and you're surrounded by other people who you can talk to because they've had this experience too.
Yvonne, thank you. This has been really wonderful. I just want to thank you for your role as a, not so much as a researcher, but your role as a therapist and a healer in this very, very complex work.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yes, we have a lot of work to do, a lot of changes, as I mentioned before, are coming, are here already with the mainstream media, which is really important for people to start paying attention to what we've been talking about for a very long time. So people are going to start awakening to their experiences. They already have. So we just have to, you know, keep moving forward, keep talking about this. I'm glad you have your show. And thank you very much for having me on.
It was my honor.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The formal part of this interview has ended, and during that talk, Yvonne and I spoke about the hypnosis session from August of 2018. I will be sharing the recorded audio of that session, and I want to talk a little bit about my decision to include this audio. This session happened almost 3 years ago, and I have never considered posting this online. The emotions were simply too raw. I created a written transcript, and much of that was used in the final chapter of my 2019 book, Hidden Experience. I also read it aloud for the audiobook, and this meant carefully reviewing the recording of this session to better capture the power of what emerged on Yvonne's couch. I worked very hard to capture the intensity of the emotion, and I was essentially performing my own dialogue, and I was essentially acting. I was acting out the words that I had already spoken while under hypnosis. And the act of reading it aloud forced me to relive the emotions, and it was both difficult to do, difficult to read aloud, difficult to go through all that again, but it was incredibly cathartic. I included that reading in a series of excerpts from the audiobook, and these were posted on the Unseen, here, on the Unknown Country site, and this is titled Audiobook Excerpts from Hidden Experience, Part 3, and this is dated January 8th, 2020. What you'll hear next is the actual recording from the session. The audio quality is not perfect, but you should have no problem hearing the dialogue. I did some editing and cleaned up some of the long pauses, and some were very long, and this allows things to move along much more quickly, and it has become much more listenable. Actually, listening to a hypnosis tape is pretty dull because the pauses are so long. And I will chime in during the session. You'll hear my voice at two points, and I will be describing some of what happened, and it will clarify a few things that might be confusing. I also snipped out some extraneous segments of the dialogue, and those weren't really important. We went astray a little bit, and I just edited those clean, and I simply cut those out, and you won't hear them. And I swore at a few points during the session, and these words are bleeped out. You shouldn't need to guess on what the word was. Now, most importantly, I need to warn you that you will hear me cry, and these parts, for me, are terribly difficult to listen to. And I worry the emotions might be too raw. And I thought about editing out my sobbing. But for good or for bad, I decided not to. I realize that hearing this might be very uncomfortable for you, the listener, and if you need to, just fast forward through it. The crying lasts for about 3.5 minutes, and I am talking through much of that. Again, I need to warn you, this might be tough for you to listen to. It certainly is for me, but my hope is to convey, at least a little bit, the emotional power of this experience. The audio begins with Yvonne's voice moments after the completion of the hypnotic induction process. Here goes.
Using all of your senses, just describe anything that comes forward.
I'm in the sleeping bag, and it's common just to wake up and roll around and look at the stars. And off to my left is the hillside, and there's this structure that looks like a flying saucer or a house that's round. Looks like it's got a ring of lights on it.
And where do you see the ring of lights?
Around the, like if it was a water tower or a round building, it would just be kind of around the center of the cylinder, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Around the edges of it. Doesn't seem like a flying saucer with like a pinched edge like a saucer. It seems more like a section out of a cylinder.
Your senses are heightened. Do you hear any sound?
It's very quiet. It seems like I might be able to sense the highway, which is a few miles away.
Mm-hmm.
The noise of trucks.
In what position are you in as you're looking at this object?
I think I kind of roll around, but I'm mostly on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And if I do look at the object, I might just turn my head. That's all I need to do. It's not hidden. And I have no sense of fear at all, though it certainly looks like a landed craft.
Now, besides the ring of lights, do you see anything else that you can describe on it?
It seems like there's one light that's just a dot of light that's a little off from it. That's not part of the structure itself. It seems a little odd. It seems like an odd place for a house.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no sense of concern or worry or just curiosity how that ended up there.
Now, as you're watching the object, are you on your back?
I feel like I'm on my back.
You're able to see the object as you're on your back?
All I have to do is turn my head to the left a little, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. It's not hidden. It's easy to see. It's far away, but it's the night air and it's clear and calm and no wind and cold, and it's not hidden or anything.
And do you sense or see anyone else around?
No.
And are you still looking at that object?
I am still looking at it, yeah. I don't know. I know there's 3 times I woke up.
Mm-hmm. And describe what happened.
I want to go to the light behind the bush.
You just take a look at that bush and describe the light.
It's not a car light. It's not a flashlight, and it's like a pale glow as opposed to like a headlight pointing somewhere.
Is a light shining on you?
No, it just seems like it's behind the bush, like a pale glow behind the bush.
Mm-hmm. And just using all of your senses, do you sense or hear any noise or sound? Sense any movement?
No. I know it's them. I know it's them. I know that it's them and that I... But I'm like just dismissing it. I'm just, oh, it's a light.
Try not to question yourself. Try not to analyze. Just get in touch with that feeling and emotion that it's them. And just describe. What are you sensing or seeing or hearing?
I'm sensing this knowing that it's them and that I need to lay down again.
And are you laying down?
I was sort of sitting up and I laid back down.
Okay, now as you're laying down, just get in touch with your body. Your body retains memories. Your senses are very heightened, and just describe anything that comes forward.
I think I just snapped back to sleep or something. Mm-hmm. I'm out, I'm looking down at this thing. It's big. Big and it's, and I'm looking down at it and it seems just black. I guess there's little lights around it. And I'm floating and I'm above it and I don't think I'm in my body. It's some other thing.
You feel you're out of body?
I think I'm still lying on the... by the car in the sleeping bag. But some part of me is looking down at this thing.
And just describe the sensation as you're floating, as you're looking down. Do you get a sense... anything or anyone around you?
I'm not alone. It just feels like this again. It's like, oh God, this again.
Just describe everything.
I am walking in a hallway.
Can you just describe the hallway?
It's curving around and the floor is flat, but it feels like the walls are all curved. I don't know how I got in there. All of a sudden, I just am walking there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... I'm not alone. There's either on one side of me or the other. There's either one or two on one side or one or two or the other. But I'm just walking and they're on the side of me. They're not in front of me. They're not behind me.
Can you describe them?
They're bald and skinny and big eyes, and but it's like I feel like I'm not tall anymore.
Do they feel familiar to you?
Yes. But it's mysterious at the same time. It doesn't... It feels, like, so normal.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go deeper? Just do a... Just whatever you can do something, just go deeper.
Take a deep breath. I'm going to put my hand on your forehead, I want you to take a deep breath. Allow yourself to drift down deeper. Going deeper as you're allowing everything to come forward now.
You just heard me ask to go deeper. And then you heard Yvonne's voice. And in that moment, the moment I asked, I was pretty stressed out. And it felt like I needed to go to a deeper level of hypnotic trance. For you, the listener here, it is considered unethical to share recordings of the induction process, so you won't hear this. Not to give anything away, but Yvonne simply encouraged me to visualize walking down some stairs. It was pretty simple, and it might not seem like much, but it helped me. It helped me a lot to like basically go to a deeper place and allow me to go forward with this journey into my own forgotten memories, into my own unconscious, or into my own higher self, which was offering me a metaphoric, symbolic explanation for the questions that I had been asking myself for years. Okay, now back to the audio recording. Here goes.
Do you still feel yourself going down the hallway?
Yeah, and I'm not me, I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm a little bit mixed up, but it feels like completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like they just had like a rubber suit, like on a hook or on a coat hanger or something like that, and I just ended up in it, and now I'm walking down this hall as something else. And I'm the same height as the things on the right and left of me. Seems like I'm maybe 5 foot tall or something, but I'm definitely not as tall as I am normally. I'm shorter.
So just describe now, as you're going down the hallway, describe everything and all around you, what is happening.
It feels important.
And what do you feel is important?
Oh, whatever the reason I'm there is.
And is there communication with them?
It feels like it. I end up in this room. And there's other beings there, and it feels like they're sitting. And it feels like a courtroom or a conference room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all staring at me.
Can you describe the conference room?
Very plain. It seems like what I'm seeing is a conference room like you would have at a hotel room or a hotel. It's not much. It's very plain. There's nothing on the walls. There's a simple table, it seems like, and they're sitting at this table on one side, and I'm alone on the other side of the room, and they're all looking at me. There might be one or two with me on that side of the room, the ones that walk me down the hall, but I'm not sure.
And what do they look like, the ones around the table?
It's foggy. They're all bald. And they're not moving. They're sitting very still. And it's like a trial or like a meeting. And they're all looking at me. And I don't think I'm at a podium, but it feels like that kind of thing. It feels like a trial.
Mm-hmm. And can you describe what's being communicated?
That now is the time, and I'm... and I agree to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here because now is the time. And I'm confused. I can't remember all the... I don't know why they're saying it.
You'll be able to remember all of the details very easily. And do they scribe to you, now is the time?
Like, why does it have to be so hard? They didn't tell me that it would be this hard being here. I'm like fighting. I didn't know it would be so hard to be here.
And where's here?
Like, my life on Earth.
Do you ask them why?
I just say I agreed to it. But they don't understand how, what it is to be here and how hard it is, and how, like, they don't know, and I do, and they don't know how hard it is, and I do, and they can't, they're blank about it, they're...
What else do they communicate to you?
Like, it's time, like, it's now. Like, everything leading up is, it's now.
And what's going to happen with now?
Everything's going to change.
Do they describe how?
Like, the job I came here to do is... starting.
Mm-hmm. And what is making you so emotional, Mike? Just get in touch with those feelings, with your emotions. Tell me what is happening. What are you feeling? What are you feeling? What are they telling you?
I have no idea. It's so hard to... they don't understand. It's hard. Being here is so hard. It's just... everything about it is so hard. I've spent so many years being so sad. It's so... like... in this pain, that's like pain to just be here, and they just said I...
Mike, do they tell you what you're supposed to do now, that the time is now? Are they describing what you're supposed to do?
Like, come forward and just talk about it, and I'm supposed to play some role, and it's so fucked up. It's just like, I can't even, like, they don't know what it's like to just to feel sad. They don't know what it's like to just feel... I don't know. It's a...
Mike, Do you try to explain that to them?
I try, and I feel like they don't. They just said, I agreed to it. They said, you knew. They said, you knew. You agreed. Mm-hmm.
So they want you to talk about your experiences.
They want me to play some role. Like I have some duty. Mm-hmm. And it's like they just say it and they don't know what that how fucked up it is what they're asking. It's just like it's so like they don't know what they're asking. Like it's not like they don't understand what it's like to be here and just have to deal with sadness and fears and loneliness, and they just don't understand that part. And they just said it's time and they agreed to it, and they're very, it's not like stern, it's like matter of fact, it's like some business deal. They're just like, now it's you, it's now is like it's now. Mm-hmm. And all the like you agreed to this and now it's happening right now. And now
now you just heard something. An abrupt change happened, and I need to explain it. During this part of what you just heard, my own level of anxiety was nearly unbearable. It felt like my whole body was rigid with tension, and there is a point when you can hear it where I just, like, popped. And I mean that. The tension was severe, and it felt like my whole body was one of those floating pool mattresses, but imagine it was blown up, like too stiff with too much air, and it felt like I was about to burst. My whole body was tense and rigid, and it felt like someone hit me with a pin, and I deflated, like pop, and I deflated. It felt like my whole body just sank into the couch. At that moment, I stopped breathing, and it literally felt like my heart had stopped. Now, I'm going to play that noise again, the noise I made when I deflated, and you can hear it. You will hear the tension release. I will play it twice. Here goes. After that noise, I was totally silent for 1 minute and 15 seconds. And during that time, it felt like I was like switched off. Simply saying I was relaxed isn't right. I was in this place of absolute calm. And I just said it just a moment ago. It felt like my heart stopped. All of this resumes the call and response of Yvonne's questions and my answers begins in a moment. You will hear Yvonne asking me a question. Here goes.
Do they describe what they want you to do in detail?
I think I'm back in the sleeping bag. I don't think they describe it. I think they just, if they do, it's not. I don't think I can say it. I don't think I'm allowed to say it. I mean,
you can say it, Mike. You can verbalize.
No, but I don't think I can say what they want me to. I don't know what they want me to do. I know that I wrote a book after. I know I started talking after. I know I did all that stuff. But I think there's like more, and all I. I think there's more, and I don't know what it is.
They're just telling you the time is now?
The impression I have is that I agreed to this in some other realm. I ended up here on Earth, and I had this life, and the life is all, I don't know, I mean, I've done a lot of things, and it's like, and it's, that's over. And there's this new thing that started right then. And they were stern about it, and they were clear about it, and they were not, I didn't have a choice. I didn't have a. I didn't have a choice. I didn't have any kind of. I didn't have any choice. I was told like a contract or like an agreement or like a plan or like a mission or like a. I was, whatever I had agreed to, it was now. And I don't see their faces, and I don't, the room is all like just some stupid room in a hotel, and I don't,
is the room full?
It doesn't seem very full. No, it seems there's maybe two people or beings on one side, on each side of me, maybe. But I'm definitely standing alone. And there, it feels like behind a table, all sitting, and I can't see their faces. It feels like I'm talking to all of them at the same time. And that's just, I don't think, it feels like the message is, your mission starts now.
I'm going to touch your forehead. I want you to take a deep breath and drift down deeper. And as they're communicating this to you, do you feel your connection with owls is part of what you're supposed to do, of your mission?
I don't think we talk about owls.
What sense do you get about your connection with owls?
I get that the owl isn't important. The owl is like a symbol or like a sign on a door. And it's just the sign on the door, and what's behind the door is what's important. And it's just a... And for some reason I'm like... an artist or something like that, and I know, but they don't know, or I don't know how to, it's like I understand that you, like there's a, like this, like, I understand how people, like I understand how people take in a story and how they need a symbol or a sign on the door. Mm-hmm. But the owl is, like, meaningless to what's on the other side of the door. It's just the doorway that's important. Mm-hmm. The owl's the right symbol for the door. But the door is the, like, we're on this side, and the door is everything else on that side, and there's a lot more. Like, we're in this little tight hallway here, and on the other side of the door is this vastness.
Are they communicating anything else to you?
No, that's the only message it feels like I got. It's just, now it's time now. Mm-hmm. And I agreed to it. And it doesn't feel like I got any say in it. And it feels like I'm fucking pissed and angry and that they would, that I would have to do this and be here, and they don't understand, and I'm like,
do they tell you, do they communicate to you that eventually it'll become clear to you what else you need to do?
I think it's implied or somehow, but they don't say it. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm, like, I never really fit in here. I guess I did in a way, but I was just battling so much emotional sadness or something in it.
Your time on Earth?
Yeah. I just see it all, so it's not clean and easy, it's all mixed up. Like, there's like I'm part of here and part of there. Mm-hmm. And then it's not simple. It's all, I mean, the emotions are all messed up and tangled up. I don't know if there's anything else I can get from this. I feel like I'm, like there's some lock that they hold the key, I don't have that yet. They're not opening that lock yet for me. It feels like that'll happen sometime, maybe before I die or something, but it feels like it feels like I'm waiting for, like, the next, like, an envelope to be delivered where I open the envelope and find the instructions. And I don't have that envelope yet. It feels like they are holding that envelope.
Are you ready to leave this time?
Yes, I gotta get out of here. It's too...
Deep breath. And touch your forehead. Just take a deep breath. Very, very deep. Everything that came forward, you're going to remember and remember more consciously as time goes on.
This is Mike, and I am chiming in after the editing. This was emotionally exhausting, and I apologize if some of that recording, that hypnosis session, was too much. The The conversation with Yvonne, what opened this episode, was actually quite fun. It was breezy. We laughed. It was nice. I like Yvonne enormously. It was wonderful to talk. But editing with headphones on and listening so carefully to my own hypnosis session, this was tough for me. And now, like, I'm wrung dry. And if you've made it this far, thank you so much. I mean that. Your feedback and your support has been so heartening. Thank you. Bye now.